With the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention this evening to the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and words that you will find in the 33rd verse. John chapter 13, verse 33, and four words, "Ye shall seek me." Ye shall seek me. What positive language the Bible declares unto us. But as the Lord Jesus Christ said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So often we are not found among those who come into the pathway of this text, "Ye shall seek me." But oh, that the Holy Spirit may stir us up and give us those desires. For it is those who feel their need who will begin to seek. Those who are cast down because of their felt heart unbelief. Those who are troubled in their spirit because they feel so unworthy of the least of all God's mercies. Those who feel the power of Satan in temptation. Those who are troubled because they do not pray or they do not read the Word of God as they ought. Those who are troubled because the cares of this world seem at times to overwhelm them and they forget God. How we are all bound in this body of sin and death, and how sin so easily besets us. But we trust this evening that these words may be of encouragement to one and another, because in them is life, everlasting life. Because we have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who says, "Seek, and ye shall find." Then I want to take each of these words individually as they are set before us. And so the first word is "ye." Now, just to put it into context, we have read how that Satan had entered into Judas Iscariot, and he, having received the sop, went out from that company of Christ and his disciples as to take the traitor's part. How exceedingly solemn when he had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ in those 3 years of his ministry. And now at the end, all is lost. But it is at this time that Jesus tells his disciples, now at this time, this imminent time, before he is taken from them, is the Son of Man glorified in God, that is, God the Father is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. And so in the verse before the words that we have by way of text this evening, you see the character which the Lord Jesus Christ describes his disciples as, little children. These words, of course, were directly spoken to the 11 apostles, but that does not mean that they are limited to them alone. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Well, if this was just an historic event, we may not find so much profit in it. But what is a disciple? One who looks to an instructor or a teacher. And so we may simply put it this way. One who is a follower. And in this case, of course, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not feel able to call ourselves disciples. We may feel that it is a high term that we are not worthy of. And of course, we're not worthy of it. We are such poor things. But I believe the very term that the Lord Jesus Christ uses here is a term of loving endearment. He loves the saints whom he has chosen and those that were chosen in him before the world began. And so it is a term of love toward these who had followed him and were still following him, despite one having rejected him and others through the pathway turning their backs upon him. These have been faithful in following him. And of course, all the Lord's little children will follow him all their days. They will endure even unto the end. But the Lord uses very simple language. And he uses it, and the Holy Spirit has interpreted it for us, that it might be a help to us. Now, a little child is dependent upon its father and its mother, wholly dependent. It can do nothing for itself. And so we have to learn. Without me, said the Lord Jesus Christ, ye can do nothing. And soon the disciples were to learn that by experience. Soon the Lord Jesus Christ would leave them. And yet they were not alone. They would still feel their dependency upon him, still realize that they could do nothing in and of themselves. It's only by grace that we can live a Christian life in this sin-cursed world. It's only as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in all his ways. And so a little child is dependent in everything. Dependent to be fed. It cannot feed itself. This is very obvious when you see a babe in its mother's arms. It is dependent upon the mother to give it food or the father to feed it with milk and things which are suitable for little children. And so those spiritually that are little children need to be fed. To be fed upon the truth of God's holy word. To receive the sincere milk of the word, as Peter says it. Dependent for our every supply. My every need, he richly will supply. But are we craving that food? You know, the babe when it feels the pangs of hunger cries out. Do we know what it is to cry out unto God? Lord, give me this living bread. As the children of Israel in the wilderness were fed with manna from heaven, so spiritually we need that bread of heaven to come down, even the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may feast upon him, that we might find him to be a portion for our never dying souls. A little child also needs to be guided. If you see a child that has begun to walk and to run, it walks and runs in which whatever direction. It has no real sense of where it's going. It's just enjoying its freedom. Well, if the Lord Jesus Christ shall make us free, then are we free indeed. But without his guidance, we know not where to roam. And so, as little children, we are dependent upon him to show us the way. This is the way, says the Lord, walk ye in it. And so it is a straight path that leads us right. We are dependent upon him for protection, to preserve our lives from all evils. Now certainly, we need protection from the fiery darts of the wicked one. We need the Lord to be our shield. The Lord God is a sun and shield. We need the sun for warmth. We need the rain to come upon the earth. We need that water of life that will sustain us all our journey through. We stand in need in all things. And this description of a little child, one could find many parallels, as it were, to the child of grace. And we shouldn't be offended to be called little children. A true Christian is small in his own estimation. He feels himself to be of little worth. But oh, a little child grows. And the child of grace grows in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye. The word ye may be used, and I might use it for the congregation here this evening. Ye are found in your place. That would be an apt use of the word. But I believe it is also more especially used individually. Has the Lord spoken to us? Has the word of God travelled, as it were, into our ears? Have we received a portion for our souls, a word upon which we can live, and a word upon which we can die? Is this our situation tonight? Are we living upon Christ? Ye. Oh, may it strike home to every one of us. Because the ye will be singled out, separated from the world. Ye, if you are the children of God, have a singular pathway to walk, a pathway which others, for the most part, cannot enter into. Sometimes of joy, sometimes of sorrow, sometimes of strength and sometimes of weakness. Sometimes in peace and sometimes with opposition. and many things come into our lives. Ye, no man can give you grace. No man can show you spiritually the way to God. We are exhorted to preach it, to show the way of salvation. It's only the Holy Spirit that can lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we have the second word, ye shall. Ye shall seek me. And again, how comforting this word is to those who have even the slightest interest in the things of God. The Lord has a people chosen from before the world began. They are called his saints, they're called his elect, they're called his chosen ones. All that the Father giveth me, said Christ, shall come to me. Ye shall. There is an appointed time. The Lord never is before his time, but also he is never too late. That appointed time is God's time. We often feel, when shall that time come? We perhaps come almost to despair that that time has not yet come. But I say these are words of comfort. There is a definite meaning to this word. He shall. And when that time comes, nothing will prevent it. Nothing will stand in the way. You may feel that it's an impossibility. You must wonder, will that time ever come? Am I one of the Lord's people? Am I chosen in Christ? Well, what is our situation? Where do we stand at this present time? Again, what interest do we have in the things of God? What desire for the Lord Jesus Christ? What hope do we have in his wonderful mercy? There are those who have realized that time has come to them, and they are perhaps astonished that the Lord should single them out, ye. And of course, the Lord knows everyone by name. When the Lord would appear to Samuel, he called him, Samuel, Samuel. And at length, Samuel had to reply, Lord, here am I. And if the Lord calls you by name, you also will have to answer, Lord, here am I. And perhaps go on with the Apostle Paul, what wilt thou have me to do? Ye shall. What a mercy that the shalls and wills of Jehovah can never fail. That every single one will be safely gathered in. Not one shall be lost. And if there are 99 in the fold and one is missing, the Lord will go and find that one and bring it back, carrying it in his bosom or upon his shoulder, and rejoicing over the one that was lost, joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Ye shall. But what shall we do? Well, the third word in our text is ye shall seek. Ye shall seek. And we have much encouragement in the word of God to seek. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Are we seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we seeking the way of salvation? Are we seeking for that glorious hope that the Lord will not cast us out at last? As I said before, seek and ye shall be found. But you know what poor things we are. And again, we have to realize it. What poor seekers we are. How often do we seek? And with what desire do we seek after the living God? Are we truly seeking with all our heart? Do we not come short in every way? And do we perhaps almost despair that the fact we cannot seem to seek as we want to seek? We feel our infirmity. We feel our weakness. Oh, to seek him. And we shall not seek in vain. I was thinking of this earlier. I thought of the bride in the Song of Solomon. And she says, by night upon my bed, I sought him. I sought him. Sometimes in the night watches, when everything is quiet, when the rest of the family perhaps are asleep, and your mind is active. Is it active in seeking the Lord? By night, upon my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. Do you have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a desire to be found in him? Is this the all-important thing with you? To seek him. To seek him, his face in prayer. To call upon his great and holy name. Knowing that he is good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy. To who? Unto all them that call upon him. So are we seeking him in prayer? Do we know in those silent watches our hearts going up to him? None here but the Lord. And how blessed if we can have some sweet communion with him at such a time as that. I know it's not always so. We perhaps wake and worry about the things that we have done during the day or what lies before us on the morrow. Satan is very active in trying to take our minds off of the things of God. But nevertheless, have there been those little moments? Let us put it down as low as that. Have there been those little moments when the Lord has come upon your spirit and you've looked up to him? Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, teach me. Lord, show me thy way. Those prayers, the falling of the tear, the sigh, like the bleating of the lamb, we call upon him. And we perhaps think that our prayers are so foolish and so weak that the Lord will not take any notice of them. But do we know the character of our God? Do we know the one to whom we pray? But perhaps you're like that account in Job. You sought him. You sought him this way and that way, but you could not find him. This was the bride's portion here. I sought him, but I found him not. Oh, how hard it is. And there may be one listening to me tonight who has sought the Lord for many years and feel perhaps you never will find him. You've almost come to the end. But can you give it up? Can you turn aside? Can you turn from such a blessing as this? Because to turn away from God is to turn away from everlasting life. Ah, but the Lord will not allow his people. They may come nigh unto the end, but they will not perish. The Lord will hold them up. He will put his strength within them, and they will cry all the more. Sometimes it is to bring out their faith. We have that in the account of the woman who went through the crowd and cried unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he answered her not a word. And if she looked at the disciples, they prayed against her, cast her away. She troubleth us. She perhaps thought of her case so difficult, so impossible, but she couldn't give up crying, calling upon the name of the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, deliver my child. This is what I'm pleading with thee for. Oh, hear my prayer. Let my cry come unto thee. Turn not away thy face. And what was the outcome? The Lord commended her faith. Her child was healed. He granted her her petition. Impossible? Yes, with her. Impossible with man? Yes. But not impossible with God. God is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. You think your case is too hard? You feel perhaps to be at the ends of the earth. The Lord may save others, but he cannot save me. Watch your language. Be careful what you say, because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Your case is not beyond his power. Yes, you may long have prayed. You may have long have sought for an evidence of his grace. You cry and shout, but all your prayer he shutteth out, seemingly. But I say again, there's a time. There's an appointed time when the Lord will appear. Ye shall seek. And you can't give up seeking. And you have to seek him more. Give him no rest until at length he will answer. He's not like the unjust judge who has to be wearied before he will grant the petition. No, the Lord is never weary of the prayer of his people. He welcomes every petition. And although he may delay his answer, yet that time will come when he will appear and you will be set free. And you'll know his loving kindness and his tender mercy. And then fourthly, ye shall seek me. Ye shall seek me. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the object of our desire. Christ is the one who was crucified for sinners. Christ is the one who came into this world that poor, erring, hell-deserving souls might live. We're not to seek the help of man, for vain, we're told, is the help of man. No man can help us. Even the best of men are men at best. They cannot give us grace. Seek me, looking unto Jesus, as the author and finisher of our faith, he who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, who lives forever and ever. He lives to die no more. Seek me. He is the one thing needful. He is the only helper, the helper of the helpless. To look to him as our all and in all. To look to him as our glorious hope. To look to him who is the Father's only beloved Son. To look to him who is able to give us a glorious dress. When Satan sinned, we lost what we once had. Going back to the little child, you know, the little child has something of the character of its father, sometimes to a greater and a lesser extent. But every child of God has something of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what grace has done for them. It's made them new creatures. And they're clothed in his righteousness. And their whole dependency is upon him. Also, they have a certain similitude in looks to their father. Again, some more and some less. Grace is a gift of God. He gives it in which whatever measure he pleases. But to be made like unto him, like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. When we shall see him as he is, we shall be like unto him. Sin cast away. Clothed in that white robe of perfect righteousness. Dwelling with the saints in glory. We read here that new commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave unto his disciples. Not a new suggestion. Not a new thought, but a new commandment. I command you to love one another. Now, of course, we're all of different characters. And some we love more than others. But how is it the people of God come together? Because they love what they see in each other. They love the grace that is evident in the lives of true believers. They love to have that union and communion with them. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. What did they speak of? They didn't speak about the weather. They didn't speak about politics. They spake about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done for their never dying souls. They spake of his wondrous love, his great compassion, his divine deliverance. And they exalted the eternal Lamb of God. He shall seek me. There is none other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved but in Christ and in Christ alone. So, what are the thoughts going through our minds? What expectation do we have? What hope of salvation? To be called the saints of God. To walk in union with Christ, the living head. To be found in him, and he in us, the hope of glory. He's our only hope. He's our only plea. There is mercy with him that he might be feared. It is he that reconciles us unto the Father. It is he that pleads his own precious blood before the throne of God to show that he has paid the price of our sin. What wonderful redemption. Can we not praise him and exalt him and love him and serve him more and more day by day? Ye shall seek me. Where shall we seek him? We seek him at the throne of grace, at the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. We seek him in the house of God, under the word of his truth. We seek him night and day. We seek him in our workplace. We seek him in our place of pleasure. We seek him in the home. We seek him everywhere. And he has promised that those that have sought him will not seek in vain. He shall not seek the Lord in vain. Oh, how glorious to know that if we have that desire, even though it be perhaps ever so small, do we have a real, a true, a living desire for the Lord Christ? If so, this text applies to us. And I say it is in the most positive language, ye shall seek me. May the Lord then give us that desire, if we have not that desire at present. And if we have a desire, may he increase that desire until our love is so powerful, so full, that the Lord will answer. And he will answer gloriously. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. The Lord bless his own word. Amen.